hear about that.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us at the Wednesday, October 15th meeting of the Madison Arts Commission. And for everyone who has been in the waiting room, thank you for your patience as we waited for quorum. Before we get started, I'll turn it over to staff briefly to just introduce the City of Madison rules and guidelines for boards, committees, and commissions.
Thank you, Chair. If you lose connection and you're joining as a member of the public, please reconnect using the link that was sent to you in your email. Commission member, please use video if you're able to ensure we have quorum. A motion must be moved, seconded, and stated by the chair before it can be discussed. To make a motion or second a motion, please use the raise hand feature. Members of the public, you must have registered to speak for an item in advance to speak during the meeting. If you have not registered to speak, please do so now and we'll watch the registrations. You will remain muted until called upon by the chair, and you will have 3 minutes to speak unless you're an invited speaker on an item tonight, in which case your time is set to 10 minutes. Please do not turn on your video. If you turn on your video and you're a member of the public, we will have to turn your video on. Chair, the floor is yours.
Your audio's off, Nick.
This is the fun part of being fairly new to consent agendas, which is, should we do it now? Is that correct? And if so, I would ask for staff to pull up
I think you take disclosures and recusals first.
Okay,
Correct, yeah,
great.
disclosures and
Okay, thank
recusals, and then
you.
we'll go into consent.
Great. So then we'll just continue to follow the agenda as appropriate. I would look for a motion to approve the September 17th, 2025 meetings. We have a motion from Alder Martinez Rutherford with a second from TL Luke. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we can move to consider this item passing via unanimous consent unless anyone would like to object. Would anyone like to abstain? Seeing none, the motion carries. Then we can move to disclosures and recusals, right? And I guess I would ask any commissioners if at this time if they would like to make any disclosures or recusals under the city's ethics code to share. Otherwise, seeing none, then we will move to proposing a consent agenda, which was previously circulated to commission members prior to tonight's meeting. And the consent agenda follows all city policies in which any item from the consent agenda does not have any registered speakers at any time. Anyone from the commission is able to pull anything off of the consent agenda. And otherwise, we will read all the items that are being considered under the consent agenda. And then from there, can take a motion to approve all of them via consent once we've gone through them all. So, as proposed by staff, and also, I guess, partially different than what was emailed because of some numbering to read through all of the items for the consent agenda for this October 15th meeting, we'd like to take up the establishing the Ad Hoc Madison Lakeway Public Arts Selection Committee, which is agenda item number 2, which is Registrar 89920. Second, the State Street Campus Garage Hawthorne Court Percent for Art Project, which is agenda item number 3, which is Registrar 78236. Next, we are looking to refer Agenda item number 5, Legistar 90343, the Warner Park Community Center Public Art, in which artist Faisal Abdu'Allah will come to the November 18th meeting to give a presentation on his designs for comments. We are looking to approve the applicants that scored 6 points or more and add them to the pre-approved social practice art database for potential collaborations on future city projects, which is the social art or social practice art call, which is agenda item number 8, Legistar 88243. And lastly, we are looking to approve submissions that scored 6 points or more and add them to the pre-approved existing art database for agenda item number 9, existing art call, which is Legistar number 87170. I guess at this time I would TL, are you looking to just motion the whole consent
agenda? That's
right. Great. Yep. And a second from Alder Martinez Rutherford. Is there any discussion at this time about the motion? I'm just looking to confirm quickly that none of the items are ones which have registrants, which is correct. Again, pausing for a moment in case anyone who is on the commission would like to take anything off of the consent agenda. All right, seeing no responses from the commission, then we can assume unanimous, we'll move to, and I'll call a vote for the consent agenda, which as previously stated and discussed, and now that the screen went away, but it's items number 2, 3, referring item number 5, item number 8, and item number 9 on that we will pass all of these via unanimous consent, unless anyone would like to object. Would anyone like to abstain from the motion? Seeing none, the motion carries, and we can then move to public comment, of which the only person that is registered is to explicitly speak are the guests for the agenda items. And I guess, okay, following this, and because you're registered to speak for the items, we can then move to agenda item number 4, the 2025 Overture Center Performance Contract Review, which is agenda item number 4, as I stated, Legistar 90238. And we have Tim Sowers, one of the co-executive or co-CEOs here, registered to speak on the presentation. Thank you so much, Tim, for joining us. And I guess I turn it to staff to pull up the presentation that I'm assuming was sent your way, as well as wait for Tim to unmute.
Can you hear me?
I can, thank you.
Yeah, great. Sorry, we can on our work computers log into Zoom Workplace, only Zoom. So I just discovered that. So I'm on my iPad.
I appreciate your dedication. Yeah. Here. The joy of technology, right?
60 times I tried to get in, and then I'm like, oh, we don't have that, and we can't install it for ourselves. And Emily's here too as well.
Apologies. Yes, Emily Greenwald, who's also a co-CEO, is also here, registered in support and to speak or available for questions, or just representing Overture Center. So
you all should have received a packet of material. There's lots of appendixes to all of that. I feel like the best way to kind of go through it is if you look through the for the appendix, that's the report to the community, which is our annual report that kind of summarizes and highlights our last year.
Thank you, staff, for bringing it up.
So yay! Thank
great.
You, Mary.
Thank you.
So I'm just going to walk you through our report. Some of the bigger information is towards the end of the report. This was just kind of issued recently that we distributed out. But if we kind of just move through it, and you know, one of the first areas, we're in the still in the middle of our Overture Forever campaign, which is hoping to wrap up relatively soon. So, you know, the goal is $30 million for capital for the Overture Center. Equity and innovation this year, we had 75 community partners. We gave out 586 free tickets that we distributed. In the summer, we had the Career Arts Exploration Program, with 28 participating students and 23 community partners. Very successful for us this past summer. In operations over the year, we did 20 projects that were in that were completed. A lot of building as we hit, you know, 20 years now. We had a lot of replacements with our rigging was a big one in Overture Hall. We replaced chillers, we replaced boilers, and that's what the capital campaign is there to send the endowment to work on all of those projects. Financial, and Emily, feel free to step in anytime if you want. The financial positioning, you're all the way down there already. To see that we ended the year very successfully. Thank you, Mary Rose. And there you go. Total assets for the organization is worth $168 million. I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time even reading my screen. Our total revenue.
Take the financial piece.
Yeah, since you're working in that area right now.
So our total assets, you can see $168 million. That does include the building. So that's not cash assets. Just want to call that out.
Right.
And then you do see up above on the unconditional promises to give, that are the pledges to the Overture Forever campaign that Tim was talking about as well. That has allowed us to grow our investments, which is the endowment fund, which is what the Overture Forever campaign is allowed, is doing. So then we can use the interest from that endowment fund to fund the capital projects. So we are hoping that we will wrap this up so that we can adjust back to annual fundraising that supports our programming, as well as our general operations. So we did have an increase in our net assets this year, which is always good to see. You can see the breakdown from the financial pie chart there, the percentage of Broadway and presenting ticketed performances, the contributions, grants, and sponsorships, and then, of course, the City of Madison's support through the Room Tax Commission grant, and thank you, resident companies and community outreach and local arts. I think it's really important for us as an organization to continue to make that investment in community outreach and local arts. We have made a commitment as an organization that 30% of our annual artistic experiences will be through those programs. But as you can see, the income to support those programs is very a lot less than 30%. And so that's really where the support, both from our community and contributions and grants, but also the Room Tax Commission's grant support, is really important, especially as we're kind of shifting our fundraising focus these few years to build that endowment. And then looking at expenses on the other side of that picture from income, again, you can see the breakdown above, which aligns with the pie chart in the previous. So we'll take a look at the expense side. Our production costs are our greatest expense. Like everything, production costs are going up, our margins on our performances are shrinking. And so that's one of the challenges that we're experiencing in our business. Depreciation cost, and then salaries, wages, and benefits are the next piece of that pie. Services and supplies, utilities, and insurance balance that out. While we're continuing to make these investments in the building, we are also being cognizant of what technology is available that will allow us to reduce our energy usage. So trying to bring that utility percentage down by using some smart investments as we replace our infrastructure as needed.
Yeah, Alder Martinez Rutherford, if you have a question.
Yes, Emily, can you tell me where you're seeing the biggest increase in production costs?
Tim's probably the better one to answer that question.
Okay.
good question.
Yeah, the cost of the shows themselves with artist fees to bring shows in is rising, but a lot of it is also in labor. Backstage labor costs have increased. Food and beverage costs have increased. What else, Emily? I think that's...
Transportation.
So
we split a lot of these costs across with our presenting partners. So even though it might not be something that Overture is necessarily paying the bill in, we split that across some of these big shows. So it's a part of a big piece of
Your stage production teams are not included in salary and wages, correct? They're just included in the production costs?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else were you going to say, Tim? Sorry.
That's all right. I would say, and a lot of it, you know, one of the biggest visibility pieces for us and one of our revenue drivers, of course, is Broadway, right? And that's where a lot of the costs are rising, particularly with the tours, their artist fees, what they want to make as their profits. So, you know, profit margins are shrinking, as Emily said earlier, and that's one of the big drivers for us.
Thank you so much for that
question. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Are there any other questions? I guess I would just take a moment to continue to express appreciation for the continued, evolution of the partnership. Obviously, I would, point explicitly to attachment number 7 on the Legistar item 90238, really communicating what the city funds are supporting. And as you can see, it's a lot of salary, a lot related to community programming, as well as some mechanical things. And, I know that that's something that's been, was asked for in the past, and appreciate the continued providence. I would take one moment to, more out of kind of curiosity, but just to speak about, this is a question to both of you as co-CEOs, to just speak about how the search is going to replace the CFO/co-CEO, given the interesting nature of how the leadership model of Overture Center, mm-hmm. which has been really exciting to watch over the last few years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can start with that, and Tim, please jump in. We are engaged with ACG, which is a national search firm that focuses on the arts industry, because as we were thinking about where we are as an organization and our strategic plan, we thought that it was important that we brought in someone with industry experience. So we are still in somewhat of the early stages of that search. So it has been posted. We are meeting with our consultants I believe, next week to look at the first batch of applicants. And what I've heard from them is that they have a very good quality of candidates, that CFO searches are challenging at this time. They've done many of them, and it has been challenging to get a high volume of candidates. However, what they feel with our search is that we have high quality candidates. And it is a little bit different, a little bit of a challenge in the model, just that we are always looking for someone to join the team that complements the other strengths of and weaknesses and compensates for our weaknesses, and it takes a full organizational view of how they create financial strategy and then being at the table of those organizational decisions. So it takes a little bit different of a person who wants to both straddle that subject matter expertise, but also then be very much engaged in the strategy creation. So it usually takes some time to find the person that's a good fit. And also is perhaps in this case, since we're doing a national search, might need to make some considerations of relocation. But thank goodness Madison has a lot to offer.
And if I could add on a similar but slightly different with that, we are also adding a new position to our leadership team, which is our co-CEO, Chief People Officer, who will oversee all of our access, inclusion, and belonging initiatives, as well as human resources. And we are working with QTI on that search, and we're in process.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
Are there any other questions for our guests? Seeing none, I guess I would, and just staff as a point of clarification, it looks like on the agenda item, I'm not necessarily seeing the attachment that is the contract itself.
That's going to be on our November agenda.
Great, thank you.
So this is just, you're just reviewing their performance of the previous contract.
Amazing.
Either approving or disapproving of their performance.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for the clarification. I just wanted to understand. So so at this time, if no one has any questions, would entertain a motion related to the materials and presentation of overture staff to, Alder Martinez Rutherford.
I was just going to say, I move acceptance of the presentation. Is that an appropriate motion?
Yeah, staff, is that enough of what you're, of the materials?
Can you move acceptance or approval of the performance of their contract?
Is that what I need to say? I move acceptance and approval of the performance of the contract.
I think Nick and Bethany have the language in front of them, but
I apologize.
Yeah, that's okay.
Too many emails. I know you sent this to me.
I think Alder Martinez Rutherford grabbed it. Got it.
Great.
Nailed it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So is there a second? And a second from Angela Johnson. Is there any discussion of the motion? Is that a hand raise?
It is for me. I don't know. Okay. For Alden.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say thank you, Overture, for this great little review. I I've been very lucky to have joined in on this for several years, and they just keep getting better and better. So thank you so much for this really nice deep dive into where this funding is going, including that segregated accounting, which is always nice to see now. So thank you for that extra effort.
I love actually submitting when we submit all this stuff, because when I was reviewing all this stuff, I'm like, I'm impressed with ourselves. You know what I mean? We really had a good, we really have, you're right. We have been getting better and better. And, you know, I've been with the organization for 17 years, and I feel like we're the strongest and the most stable we've ever been in the history.
Wow.
So thank you for that.
That's huge. That's huge. We love hearing that. I'm glad that our grant can help with that. That's huge.
And I'm just finding the language that was potentially submitted by staff again. I guess the only thing that was maybe not included was any, if there was anything that we felt was missing around future contract deliverables, and to potentially call them out as things to look for moving forward. And so I guess I would just, you know, explicitly point to that if that was something someone wanted to amend. But otherwise, after a moment, if no one has any further discussion, we can move to a vote. Yeah, TL?
I feel like the only thing that I, because again, this was such good information, I feel like the only thing that I was sort of wondering at any point was like, I wish that I could see more of the like breakdowns of the local artist initiatives. I know that you have some really great numbers that you include and you go into very specific projects. I guess I was curious, let me just pull it up. Okay. So just scrolling through. Also, I love how accessible this like presentation is. These slides are all so good. I think there is just one area. Yeah, okay. So artists, I love that you have like the breakdown of like total artists, local to touring, and then Aaron's quote and stuff. I guess. Okay, So are the, maybe you do include this, is it mainly the like artists that you're working with is like part of this like 24 exhibitions, like overture galleries, is that what, or is that kind of including all of the like performances?
Yeah, it's like with the local artist stuff is all among, whether it's a performance, whether there were local artists who are using the space for projects, whether they were the visual artists in the exhibitions. So
I would point explicitly to appendices D and E, attachments 4 and 5, which is the Res Company and Local Art Subsidy Report, as well as the Overture Artist Roster. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the local artist roster,
thank you.
If you scroll to the second page and you kind of assume everything from local arts performances on the second page down, like maybe isn't 100%. Like I know for a fact that the Photo Midwest,
you're so right.
Show might include some artists that aren't specifically local or regional, mm-hmm. but in general, the artists that fall under local arts performances all the way down, kids mm-hmm. in the rotunda, gallery artists, etc., are generally falling within.
Thank you. Artists. I fully missed this sheet. So that answers my question. That would have been the only other thing, was just sort of this roster. So perfect. Then I guess no notes.
Great. Thank you, staff, for pulling that up. If no one has any further questions or discussion, I guess I'm just continuing to look and hold for a moment, but I feel comfortable that we can move to a vote. Unless anyone would like to
or I guess to restate the motion explicitly, we had Alder Martinez Rutherford with a second from Angela with a motion to approve the 2025 Overture Center annual agreement deliverables, and that we found them, as well as Overture's performance, satisfactory. And unless anyone would like to, or we can assume unanimous approval, unless anyone would like to object to the motion. Would anyone like to abstain from the motion? Seeing none, it carries unanimously. And we can then move to agenda item number 6. And while we give staff a moment to pull up the presentations for our friends from the Milligan Studio to speak to their designs, I would just like to take one moment to welcome Greg Dobie, a commissioner who has joined the meeting. Thank you so much, Greg, for joining us. And thank you, staff, for pulling up this presentation. And I guess I will turn it over to you all. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us. We're really excited to be here tonight. We want to. We only have 10 minutes, and so I'm going to have to talk very quickly. And but there will be things that you'll be able to look at your leisure and really look at the numbers and how we came to these decisions and how we came to this moment. We're building on the drift list, and many of you know about the drift list, and it's a sacred thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's an exciting thing. And when we our call basically here is to create a work that is unified for the entire building, that celebrates the community and the people who work in the building. And it also has joy, charm, humor, beauty, and just a lightness to it. And that's a really important thing to us, at least. We came to see the space before we started our design, and we realized that it's filled with wildlife and wildflowers, and it's a very popular place for dog walkers. And it's just really a community and family-oriented site in its raw state. And now we're going to convert it to industrial use. And so we decided to call it the Prairie Sea, a narrative installation celebrating community, because it really felt like we were in the middle of a prairie sea. You know, it was just, we were surrounded by this beautiful, buffeted by these waves. Next slide. So one of the first things we did, the integration of art into public buildings allow for the care of the human hand to shape the experience of communal space as a frame for our lives. And not just the lives of the people who work in this building, but the people who visit it and live near it. And so it's really important when we started this design process to put the human hand in it, to put the tenderness and the kindness and the joy of the human hand. Next slide. So we began with a public art survey, of course. We collected community feedback through a questionnaire, both written and online, public meetings, and on-site events. So, Mary Rose, if you just want to flip through, we can sort of quickly see. We asked people what community art should reflect, how it should make you feel, and what you want to see in this space, because we have choices. Screen walls, of course, was very important. Benches, overhangs, landmark sculptures. And we've divided this into various. The community event was an event that we had on site. Next slide. And then we had a sort of a picnic park event that was actually working with the workers, the people who will be there. They had a picnic in their building celebrating the harvest of one of the people who work there who has a community garden. And every year they have corn and all these wonderful things in the garden, and they celebrate just that bounty in the space. And now they're moving to this space. So keep that in mind. So the next slide. And then we had the online responses. Thank you very much, Mary Rose, for doing that, and Karen. That was lovely. And you can see where screen walls are very important to sort of block some of the not as pretty parts of this building. Benches, overhangs, and landmark sculpture. Consistently, landmark sculpture was something people wanted. Next slide. So our design committee from the people of Sketchworks, and we came up with the same, we asked them too, what were you thinking? And so it's the same sort of very similar algorithm that happened here. Next slide. Our approach to design is biolithic, which nurtures the relationship between people and nature. And the feedback emphasizes this with wanting to see nature, wildlife, native plants, sunsets, which was interesting, a sense of community, and the recognition of workers. So we really had a very strong direction from all these surveys. Next slide. One of the most interesting things that happened when we were at the picnic was a union rep came to me and said that we need to honor the workers metaphorically in this building because they work around the clock to keep the city running. And he's absolutely correct. And I was thinking, how can we do that? And we came up with this idea of bees because, you know, bees are untiring, and they make progress because they also, you know, they fertilize and they make the lushness, and bees symbolize diligence, community, wisdom, and abundance. And they really are very much like the guys who are the snowplow guys, because they really do clear the path so that we can have a future together. And I thought, wow, let's look at this, the beauty of bees in this section. And here are currently, this is the last drawing that we made, but we're sort of shifting the building a bit. But these are the sort of the opportunities. Now, the opportunities come in two different categories. One is the straight art, public art, you know, like the landmark sculpture, that sort of thing. The other is collaboration with the builders and the architects. So you'll see we're really able to stretch our dollars and create a whole campus sense of environment. So as of today, this is kind of, or as of last week, this is kind of what the building looked like. And so we have an art screen that's about 200 feet long that will cover up the trucks rolling in and out. That's like a garden, and we'll talk about that in a minute. There's an overhang that we're still hopefully looking at that will greet visitors, that will be amazing. This is all made in stainless steel, bronze, and glass that is shatter resistant. And we've been doing a lot of work in that. We do that work worldwide in this kind of environment, especially the upper Midwest. There's going to be a fence, which is a collaborative piece. The overhang piece is collaborative between ourselves and the builders. The fence is collaborative between ourselves and the builders. The landmark sculpture is going to be directly out of the Percent for the Arts. And then we have viewing benches. Turn it, please, one more. We'll talk about the viewing benches in a minute. But so the yard fence, this is a collaborative piece. This is where the big trucks turn around. Well, you know, nobody really kind of wants to look at that all the time, but sometimes you really do want to see the big trucks turn around. And so we decided to do this sort of honeycomb hive with glass, shatter resistant glass. So some of it will look through. This is just a basic rendering of this. And P, you'll be able to look through too, because, you know, who doesn't want to see a truck turn around? I mean, I love it. So it gives you the opportunity to celebrate the workers in this way. Next slide. We were asked by the team, by the Sketchworks team, to create concrete medallions that would just fit into the building. So we just have the bees here, but we have a whole bunch of them. And they deal with the snowplow, my favorite, of course, and, you know, the lawnmowers and the people who work there. So it's not only nature around it, but it's the people who are inside. It's like, this is what they do. This is who they are. This is why they keep our city going. Next slide. Celebrating community is the big theme. And I don't know about you, but being a Midwestern girl, a bunt is one of the best ways to celebrate community. And I have done research. I've written a book called White Truffles in Winter that was on the New York Times bestseller list, God bless, but it's about food, so I'm a bit of a foodie. And I have done extensive research. There are bunts in every culture. And they are culturally significant to people because, you know, you bring them to what? Births, deaths. Sometimes you bring them to engagement parties, birthday parties. It's a way to say welcome. It's a way to say you're welcome. Here's a bit of home. Here's a bit of my heart. Next slide. So we decided on the art screen, instead of making flowers or trying to make signifiers that replicate nature, we're going to make bunts. Because we're going to take all these beautiful cross-cultural bunch shapes and make them into huge floral explosions. And so you'll get this really interesting feeling of the idea of home and welcome, you know. And they're in shatter-resistant glass, and we call them pollinator flowers. And so this essentially, next slide, please. this is where we're making them. We've already done a huge amount of the samples of them. We have some here. They're really thick, as you can see on the old noggin, didn't break. They're very shatter resistant. Next slide, please. So this is kind of what the art screen looks like. We go from spring to summer. So you see, kind of see the green. Now this is, you know, this is what happens when you have to use Photoshop. You can't really get the lushness and the beauty of it, but you get the idea of the colors and how it sits on here. It's going to be bronze, stainless steel, and shatter resistant glass. And this blue, that's going to be a large part of it, is going to be winter. So we're using blue for winter just to cheer us all up. But it is going to be 200 feet long and 10 feet high. Next one, next slide. So the suggested element of the overhang. So imagine you're going into the place to talk to somebody in Park and Rec. So overhead, we could do a sun. We're thinking maybe a sun and some rain because you know, it's not always a good day. Can we see the next slide? So that's an element of, these are possibilities. We've made all these models, and if you want to see them, I can send them to Mary and you can actually see them and touch them. They're all shatter resistant glass, but this is a rain pattern we could use. Next slide. Sunset on the site. We were told by a local people that people come from all over to see a sunset or a sunrise in West Madison. And what are we gonna do about that? So what we decided to do these are actual sunset slides, by the way. Next slide, is to make benches, viewing benches, so you can sit by the water and look at this glorious. Bring your kids, bring your dogs, bring your cats, you know, tie them up on the end. Let's sit together and see the beauty of this prairie sea. Next slide. These will be lightly illuminated from, that's okay, you can put that, but there you go. They'll be lightly illuminated with dark sky considerations. We work a lot with that. We're working on a big piece in Boulder, Colorado with that. So we understand the importance of that. We're actually solar powered, our studio, probably the only solar powered studio, public art studio in America. Next slide. So you need the signature piece, right? The landmark piece. What is the piece that you say turn at? You know, I'll meet you down there, turn at. Well, plow sail is what we're suggesting. It's approximately 30 feet high, 4 feet wide. It's in bronze, stainless steel, and shatter resistant glass. Next slide. Plow sail, it has an internal lighting system, of course, dark sky again, that illuminates the dozens of the shatter resistant pollinator flowers that will be inside. So there'll be clear parts. So you'll be able to walk around it and see this glory sort of that is this kind of community celebration, all the hearts and souls and gifts that we give each other. And the influences are the plow, snow plow sailing through the streets, supporting the progress of the community. But the milkweed pod, as you can see, right? Reminds you of a milkweed pod. That supports the abundance of the land. And so it is that kind of cross between an actual plow and a milkweed plow in this beautiful piece that people will know to take that turn right there. Next slide. Here's some more drawings of it. These are the interior you can have at your leisure, of course, take a look. If you want to call us, call us. If you want to email us, email us. We'll go through it with you. This is some of the glass pieces. We've done a lot of blowing for this to make sure it works, make sure it's good strength. Next slide, please. And then this is just basically how it would look and how it sits in the space. Next slide. Okay, ongoing community engagement. This property belonged to these people. They took their dogs there. You know, they went there in times of trouble. They walked through there. You can see that we sat there and watched this for a while. And so what I'm thinking that we've suggesting, and we're kindly suggesting it, that perhaps the space that you have not built on the new building, because there are some open spaces, why not make a community garden? Why not allow all the people who live around and who want to be part of a community garden? And why not a farmer's market too? Next slide. So community garden, a staff has created this garden at Sycamore, right? So they are used to having a community garden. So we could invite staff, of course, to be part of this garden and all the people who are neighbors. We belong to, this is our community garden and there's bees there, which is ironic. But surrounding community members could have this and offered low cost for a plot, free maybe to city employees. You can figure it out. It's just to cover insurance and water. The program could be under Park and Rec with the university or others involved. That's how we work at ours. But I think this would be a really lovely use of land, because it says, hey, we're in this together. You fix our streets, you know, we grow and thrive. Next slide. Farmers market. Who doesn't love a farmers market? You know, not every day you can drive down that road to there's clothes. You know, a lot of times the what's it called, to get rid of the stuff.
The lawn stuff.
Yeah, the lawn. You know, when you get rid of your lawn things, that road is closed sometimes. So on days that it's closed, why not have a little farmers market? Invite people to come who are local and around and celebrate each other. Because I think that it would be really, the more we can get everybody there, you know, and being part of it and just celebrating each other and being together, I think is incredibly important. Next slide. The Milligan Studio, we defy gravity with joy. And this is the piece we did for Rochester. It's 20 feet tall, 28 feet long. It's made the same thing, shatter resistant glass. If you know anything about Rochester, Minnesota, high winds, lots of snow, lots of brutal weather. We put it up in lots of brutal weather. Point is, this will last generations. And that's what we try to do with the Prairie Sea, to create a unified work of art that will last generations, that you can enjoy with your children, cousins, you know, everyone, the dogs, cats, mice, whatever, you know, whatever you love. You can be there, watch the sunrise and sunset, eat the strawberries that someone's grown, and just say, this is who we are in Madison. We have a sense of humor. We have a sense of joy. We have a sense of belonging. We have a sense that we belong in this place. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much for joining us and wading through other parts of our very full agenda. We're so grateful that you're here with us. I guess I would start as a general reminder for all the commissioners on the staff to speak to what the Far West Operations Building is, just because, again, the art that we are responsible for helping shape and oversee and, you know, have the artists work. Yeah, Randy, did you want to speak to this as staff?
Yes, thank you.
Great. Yep. By all means, if you want to go, by all means, you can probably speak to this better than me. I just have the engineering project page pulled up. So by all means, go ahead.
Sure. The Far West Operations Building, if you're familiar with any of the streets division locations, West Badger Road or Sycamore Avenue, this would be a third Far West place where the vehicle barn houses, the snow plows, the dump trucks, the refuse and recycling trucks, and assorted other streets division urban forestry equipment, as well as a fleet maintenance operations section. Currently the nearest service place for the Far West, yes, we'd be encompassing that area. The nearest service facility currently is Badger Road. So every morning when Streets Division employees go out to do their garbage and refuse runs, recycling runs, they're deadheading from Badger Road out to the west side. This will bring all kinds of services for streets and urban forestry closer to the far west side of town.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it again speaks to right having this location that's west of the Beltline, and right as people think, the West Badger Road site is off of Park Street, or off of Fish Hatchery Park Street area. So just correct, as an understanding of what this means for city operations. And as such, the building, right, is, though a public facility, is generally aimed at not necessarily being for public use, but used by public employees, which the artist spoke so beautifully to, related to the concept of bees and other things. So I guess, does anyone have any questions for the artists? Or, yeah, TL?
I got many questions, if that's okay. Okay. So I'm going to start at the bottom, which is our community engagement first. For community engagement, I guess I was wondering you brought up the farmers market. I am very, hello, Milligan Studio. I'm Teal Luke. I'm an illustrator here in Madison, and I frequent and sell at a lot of farmers markets here. So I am speaking with that expertise, and I'm a little curious about who is going to be facilitating this. Farmers markets are notorious for being very hard to organize, and so I'm a little curious about your thoughts on that community engagement aspect of it.
Sure. We basically think that if Park and Rec would like to take this on, that they would do the community garden, and out of the community garden, there would be like the farmers market. And so people could participate in this in many different ways. But I think it would be just kind of lovely to put a call out and see and really narrow it down, you know, because you really want it to be this neighborhood and these people in West Madison. So, you know, don't allow anything, from Milwaukee or anything like that, you know. And so local artists would be perfect to come and sell their wares on certain days. And, you know, there's a very small farmers market here, and it's just in a neighborhood. It's in the library's parking lot. And it's basically like six booths. One sells honey, and then there's music, and that's great, and the kids love it. And then there's somebody who sells food, and so it's one of these things, like, it's very small. I don't see this as being huge. It's just really a community thing that will start out small.
So are you suggesting that this is a farmer's market that's facilitated by staff who is facilitating a community garden?
Yeah.
On behalf of the community residents, is this something that like Milligan Studio is going to be helping integrate into? I guess I'm a little confused about that element of the public arts community.
Well, the thing is that it does seem like there are a lot of public art proposals now that also suggest other ways to use the thing. But we're big fans of the humanize and the whole.
It's just, we would be building all those things that you saw, the fence, the walls, the overhang, the sculptures, and the benches and all that, and creating an environment. And then at certain days of the week, that place would be closed. And so you have that whole strip of road beside the little bit of water, maybe where the benches are. So you've got this possibility of something like that taking root, but I would think it would have to be something that would take root locally.
Yeah, I mean,
and a facility.
Okay, so these are like just some like nice suggestions for staff to consider.
If they wanted us to begin the process, we would definitely do that, because we have a lot of experience with this.
I guess I was just curious on the public art side of it.
But that has been in fact, here in the Twin Cities, the big stadium, the Loon, the big stadium here where they have a huge Loon, the soccer stadium, they now have a community. They just announced it, that they're going to do a community garden and things like that. But they also, it's part of their art package.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting, just that whole idea, the integration. I think that integration is really important between the two. But we're more than happy to set it off for people.
No, that's very interesting. Yeah, thank you for going into that.
We were inspired, as she said, we went to the picnic and we discovered that the guy had his own, it was a guy on a night shift, and he had his own community plot on the site. Like, it was probably not totally completely approved, but it was nobody stopped them,
and they celebrated
it
them.
So years,
yeah.
And years, and then the food that they were eating at the picnic was grown on the plot,
so we really do want to celebrate
make sure
those workers. And even if it was just the people in that building, they organized themselves, you know. Let's just give it a shot. If it doesn't work, it's fine. We just thought it was a good idea to celebrate that.
That was my first question.
TL.
Yeah, of course.
Just to jump in, I think that it speaks a little bit to the general reality of this kind of being a truly publicly owned space on the far west side of town. And if you go to the City of Madison website related to farmers markets, the closest farmer markets are the West Side Community Market, which happens kind of by, or it happens in University Park. There is a farmers market that happens at Hilldale, and there's one that happens in Monroe Street. And then there's
Oh,
also a
yeah, there's a
farmers
ton.
market that happens in Middleton at Greenway Station.
Yeah.
So I think to think
North
about
Co-op.
what, yeah, but to think about like what the proposal is more just a general understanding that though this is a publicly owned building that's mostly aimed at employees, that there are potentially opportunities to think about like what would it mean for a farmers market to be utilized in the space? Not necessarily something that's being actively proposed, but just something to consider given that percent for art is going to beautify the space in a way that might not otherwise, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're looking for. Thank you.
Cool.
Yep.
Awesome. Could we move to the plow sale? So I'm loving every other aspect of this proposal with the fence and the screen, the overhang. I love that you're working alongside the like engineers and the employees there. Like I love the ripple effects. I love the non-shattered glass. Ooh, love, 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 love. I'm a little curious about the like functionality of the plow sale. I understand it as this landmark sculpture. Love that. I think I'm just personally familiar with the RFP, and just there's that note on here of the like intention for to okay, so the goal for the project is to fully integrate public art into the public works project, which I think every other aspect of this absolutely does, but to not treat art as a separate feature. And I feel like that's the only part of this proposal that currently feels like a totally independent standalone sculpture, rather than like,
Well,
how this fence is very functional. The screen is functioning to like block this kind of like uglier area, the benches, ooh,
yes,
the
but
sunset,
we can
yeah.
take that because of all the things that we asked people what they wanted, benches and things, they wanted a sculpture. They wanted a landmark sculpture so that something would illuminate. See, when you're driving by that space, if you've, I don't know if you've driven out there, we've driven out there several times, you can miss it. You can miss it. And so the idea that it is a beautiful light that's coming out of there, it's emanating this really softness and part of the environment and encouraging for the environment and tells you to turn there. I mean,
That is
that
functional.
is the one thing that people really said they want that. And if you can look at, you'll have some chance on your own leisure to look at all the stuff. And we do have some of the write-in things. It was very interesting because we didn't expect anybody to want a landmark sculpture. We just didn't. But that was the one thing that came up. And I think it is pride of place too, that people want to say, because people can get photographed in front of it and that's part of owning it. It's part of having it. And that this is going the Prairie Sea will be a beautiful space. I mean, if you think about it, there'll be these lit boats that one sits on, and it's this huge amount of water, and it looks out to the sunset and the sunrise, and then you have the beautiful pond. I mean, it is that kind of moment where people can come there and be a part of it and calm and
I
celebrate,
mean, you've said yourself you didn't understand the function, but then in the next thing you said it's a landmark. So
I'm using your words,
yeah,
I know. So
but we're bad
that is, but
drivers,
that
so
is,
we always need a
but
landmark.
that is the function. And we go, that's what we do.
Seriously.
Since I came here, we put sculptures up everywhere. And what we do is create something unique for that community that's theirs that they can say, if they want to say turn it such and such, then
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not like the other thing.
I mean, it's.
Whereas the nature of the industrial architecture, it's just like everything else. And so you can't really, it's like saying turn a McDonald's. Well, which McDonald's? The one
But
that's
yeah,
different than everything else.
I mean, it sounds,
sure.
but we were actually surprised how many people wanted a landmark because that does seem to be, we get lost a lot. We thought it was just us, but
I guess I just wonder, like, as a professional, like when I'm thinking of like Like I'm so pro landmark sculptures. Like that's definitely not my every building should have one. But I do wonder about just like, the commission element of it. And yeah, I will say like this is I love how ambitious the like you have a lot of things that you're presenting. So I wonder if it's maybe a matter of like prioritizing, like as we're going, like prioritizing, making sure like the art screen goes up, making sure that fence, making sure the overhang, the benches,
Yes.
and then the landmark sculpture being like, I don't know, just thinking about you could probably get all of this in the budget. I think you guys have expressed that that's gonna not be a problem, but maybe just yeah.
Now, here is the thing, and that's a very good question. How is this all going to work? Well, the point is that like the fence, right, with the things we're not making that. We're making elements of it. And that's actually being made by Parkitecture. So, the concrete things, we're making the, but we're not fabricating that. But it's a way to extend the budget. So it seems like we have a huge amount of stuff going on. But what's really happening is that, like, the benches and things like that, that comes under, they need benches. Why not make them beautiful? I mean, it's just that's kind of where that all comes under.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm also just thinking like tariffs and like other elements that are we're running into construction wise and stuff. We're seeing some of our material costs changing. So
The
I
one
think
thing,
just, yeah, right, being that hyper vigilance
no, I
in,
know. One thing
right.
that we should have mentioned is that I'm factory sponsored. So
Okay.
I have done so much work, and we've won quite a few awards. And so Wishmark Glass gives us a great deal of glass. So that's why you see
That's
all this
nice.
glass and all this stuff, because we get it. And they give it to us, and then they take pictures of it and go, "That's our glass." And we go, "Thank you." So they donate it to communities that we work in.
That's really
So
great.
that's why we have this big, and I don't think we've said that yet in this thing, but that's why we have this big budget, because we get it at little or low cost, or sometimes just donated to try the thing.
Then like standard. That's
Yeah.
cool.
And so,
Okay.
well, there is no standard. Nobody else does this.
nobody else does this. The way we've actually
Heard.
developed ways to make this stuff that people don't do, and that's why the Wishmark people support what we do.
And
So
also
yeah,
the
and
nature of
oh,
that
sorry.
standing piece, as you say, is one third side of it is glass, and then it'll have these sort of things inside it. So these are the similar elements that are in the wall. So it will visually all tie together.
Yeah, it'll bring it all together. Well, thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I guess I just wanted to speak to, I think, part of the line of questioning, if it's okay for me to kind of dig into some of the underlying nature of this. And I think part of it is that we as the commission are really excited that you have been so integral to the part project. And right, ideally good public art is thinking about the entire project, from the benches, from the screen, the screen wall, and all of those kinds of things. And I guess just being cognizant that that obviously isn't always how public art projects happen, which is disappointing. And I think just trying to sit with some of that reality of, like, you have put forth what, in my opinion, seems like an incredible plan that I'm also sitting here being like, what's the total cost for this? But I also understand that, like, if it is wrapped up in other costs of construction that is not explicitly the art part, that, again, like you're saying, allows us to extend resources and create a more wholly integrated artistic environment, which, again, I think is the dream and goal of not only this commission, but staff, the city. If you go to the City of Madison website under arts, there's really great materials about how artists should be integrated into every design team that the city assembles. And again, I think it is really exciting that that, as you're stating, are in the conversations about what the benches look like. Because again, if you don't have that conversation early, someone just goes and buys a bench And then we're stuck with whatever benches already existed, as opposed to thinking about how they could maybe be different and unique.
Well, we really should say, we forgot to say earlier, but we really are honored to do this. And it has been thrilling. It has been wonderful to work with the Sketchworks team. We love Nick. We love working with the city. Randy's been wonderful. I mean, the whole thing has been welcoming and integrating and exciting. And so we really do thank you. And we do understand, we know right now we're in the middle of a project that's been up for 2 years, and we're using a two-year-old budget, and we're trying to figure out how to be creative and how to make it work. We have great lines. We have great people who help us with medals and things like that. So we've been able, we worked through COVID completely and did a lot of major projects there, still doing very large projects and not getting that buffeted, knock wood, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, well, again, I just wanted to, again, TL, I hope I didn't speak out of turn with some of
No, and thank you. Also want to say thank you for listening to my line of harsh questioning, I guess, you know, with large, you know, like projects like this, and this is a very nice, large one. You know, I just want to make sure that we are asking the right questions and doing our due diligence around what's coming in.
We appreciate that and honor that. That's really important. And it also is good to hear it, because we go, oh, okay, let's look at that.
Right. Right. No, I appreciate the dialogue always, always, always. Yeah.
Are there any other questions? Otherwise, if I am correct, staff, are we explicitly, we're looking for a motion on this item tonight?
So tonight is purely an informational, so we're looking for the commission to provide feedback generally on the ideas and concepts. And thank you, TL and Nick, for sharing your opinions. Hopefully that's been valuable to our artist team. And the next step, we have a little bit of community surveying to do around all of the proposed different elements of this. And then the artist team will continue working on designs in collaboration with the Sketchworks team. And then at some point they will return with final designs that are actually laid out on the site and have, you know, dimensioned plans. And along with that, we'll be looking for an itemized budget to lay out exactly how the percent for art dollars are being used. And as well as they've mentioned, they're collaborating a lot with the construction budget. So we'll be looking for some of those costs so we can see what's leveraged, as you guys have noticed how great it is that they're able to collaborate. So those are the next steps. So it's purely informational tonight. So any other feedback or comments that you guys can provide to the artist team so that they can take that into consideration, that would be great.
Great, thank you. I guess I'll just hold for one more second, but if no one else has anything they would like to say, again, I guess I would just like to extend appreciation again for you joining us, for your work and dedication. It's clear and obvious that through the feedback mechanisms that staff has helped facilitate, as well as you visiting the site multiple times and all of this, that, you know, I'm excited that you're excited to make art for a space, which is always a really good feeling. And again, thank you. And I guess look forward to continued opportunities to engage. And when you come back, look forward to, you know, putting a final stamp of approval on that, or, you know, whatever. So thank you.
Thank you so much. We enjoy the dialogue greatly.
Thank you.
And we love the budgeting process. No, we really do, though. It's amazing. And it's just, and it's good to work with you. It's good to hear from you, not, you know, to hear your concerns, because you're why we're here. We're celebrating your community in conjunction with you. Thank you so very much for your time, everyone. It was wonderful. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, sounds great. Thank you. And then moving on, then we can move to agenda item number 7, which is the Men's Shelter Percent for Art project. And we have artist Laurel True on the call with us to
Laurel, Laurel, I'm going to be presenting.
Okay.
Because Laurel is actually quite ill and has been. And it's a miracle they were able to finish the design proposal for tonight. Okay. So
no worries. I just see her on the call. So, but sounds great. No worries.
Okay. Okay. So I'm going to be quick. I know we lose quorum in 8 minutes, And so I want to, I'm hoping that you all can, we're seeking approval of this design tonight if that is your vote. So just as a little background, I think you all remember how we got to this point. This project, Bartolon Men's Shelter, had several different ideas for what public art could be. And we worked with artist Lillian Sizemore to identify a concrete location for architectural mosaic to be incorporated into the project. And so Lillian designed those sort of spaces that harmonize with the window openings. And then we put out an RFQ and, or no, we used the existing art call, I believe, to identify three artists to come up with proposals. And then you picked Laurel from among those proposals. Since then, Laurel has done due diligence with community involvement, having a community meeting at the East Madison Community Center, and also shadowed the intake process at Porch Light Shelter, and really got pretty deep into conversation with people that were coming there to stay for the night. And so in one of the other images on your in your packet, you can refer to it later, but it kind of drew out where Laurel was getting their inspiration for this idea. That's the one I was thinking of, that just kind of identify the common themes that they lifted from both the community center focus group and the people using the shelter. So then Laurel got to go to France to teach a mosaic making workshop and got to let these ideas just really percolate and you know, had some time to really be thoughtful and intentional about what kind of symbols could sort of summarize and communicate these values, basically. And that's where we get to. Okay, so that was some more of the inspiration about the color palette, which you've seen. And then came up with this idea of these kind of radiating circles, if you will. That kind of cross those planes and connect. So even though there's like the disconnection in the actual rectangles, you can see that that connection is maintained throughout the design. So I think for the sake of 5 minutes left, I'll just say, what are your questions, and see if we can think about.
Yeah, Tio.
I was just gonna motion, but I can wait.
I mean, you can also motion if there's if you so desire.
If no one else has any questions, I would motion to accept. Are we trying to motion to accept the approval of this design currently? Okay, I motion to accept the Laurel Trues design as shown in this presentation.
Great, and it looks like we have a second from Alder Martinez Rutherford. I'm assuming Papa Copino is also trying to second. Is there discussion on the motion? On the art as presented in the agenda item and also previously shared with staff. I guess I would just take one moment as a person who was able to stop by the community meeting that was held at the East Madison Community Center. And I think that the design presented is really beautiful, and I think really speaks to staff working through the difficulties that is public art with a changing site plan, where the original design was a labyrinth, the site changed, we then looked at how the building was going to be built, you know, there is a landing on the thought of using mosaic to decorate the building, and I'm just extremely impressed that this is where we have ended up You know, this has been quite the, and I guess I would, you know, I don't speak as on behalf of my significant other life partner, District 12, Julia Matthews, who represents this district where the men's shelter will be located. But, you know, this project is one that is very significant for the community, and the fact that there will be art as part of it feels really meaningful as well. I guess, does anyone have anything else they'd like to say briefly? Otherwise, seeing none, then I guess I'll call the question, which there is a motion by TL Luke with a second from Alder Martinez Rutherford to approve the designs of Laurel True for the Bardawan Men's Shelter, for the mosaic murals on the exterior of the building. And Wes, yeah, Karin, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, just wanted to convey from Laurel that they are very honored to create these pieces. And I know you will hear from her in the future when she's well.
Ah, well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Feel better, Laurel.
Yes, yeah, look forward to continued continued opportunities to engage with your incredible, incredible artistic practice. So just to reiterate, there's been a motion and a second to approve the designs as put forth by Laurel True for the mosaic murals for the Bardawan shelter. And unless anyone, and then we can move to accept unanimous approval unless anyone would like to oppose the motion. Would anyone like to abstain from the motion? Seeing none, the motion passes. And I'm know that there's the discussion of losing quorum. I also do see that Greg Dolby has rejoined the call, and I know that Papa Gobina needs to leave. Would that mean that we're still at our, no, we've lost someone else.
We lost Bethany, yeah. So we'll lose quorum.
Okay. Well, then thank you, Papa Gobina, for sticking on as long as you can. And I guess as you are about to sign off the items that are left, agenda items 10, 11, as well as the will be reviewed at the next meeting. And please check out the administrative updates. Staff has been doing a great job, doing so much incredible work, and there's so much excitement of what this commission is doing, of which staff are the ones really carrying out the vision. So thank you, staff. Thanks, everyone. And with that, I guess we're going to lose quorum. So yeah, TL.
A motion to adjourn. Sure, yeah. Do we need to do that?
And a second from Alder Martinez Rutherford. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. There's a move to adjourn. Anyone like to oppose? Seeing none, great. Thanks so much, everyone. What a lovely meeting.